Now, on to my guest, and a bit of a trigger warning at first. This story deals with suicide, so maybe triggering for anyone who's struggling with their mental health or suicidal thoughts. Now, Andy's Man Club offer men's peer-to-peer talking groups. It's a UK charity with over 100 groups taking place every Monday night, except bank holidays, across the country between 7pm and 9pm. Now, if you'd have told Darren Smith on October the 27th, 2020, that he would be sat speaking about his feelings and how he helps others nearly 2 years down the line, he would never have believed you. That's because on that day in October, Darren attempted to take his life. Well, I'm pleased to say that Darren seems to be in a much better place now, and he's here to tell us about his journey and how Andy's Man Club has helped him. Welcome, Darren.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Hello, mate. Thank you so much for coming in today. Now, I'm not going to bombard you with questions. I think it's easier and simpler just to invite you to tell your story in any way that you're comfortable with. So where does your story start?
Wow. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
It's great to be here.
You're welcome.
I suppose the story starts over 10 years ago when I first became aware of my mental health. I'd had a pretty successful career in finance, and for some reason or another, I went to work as I normally would do, going into walk into a huge office building, and I physically couldn't do it. And I had a breakdown. I had a physical breakdown outside the main entrance to the office, crying, physically shaking. And at the time, didn't know what it was.
Didn't understand,
wasn't aware. And yeah, that was kind of the first moment that something happened. And as a man, I kind of went, okay, Must be stress with work. I did see the doctor, but that was kind of all. And at the time, that was for me, right, okay, I've been to the doctor, I've ticked that box, and hopefully it'll go away and I'll be all right. But it didn't go away. And I had a period of time out of work, and things didn't get better. And I blamed work.
Okay.
That was my kind of, okay, it must be work. You know, I've put all this time and energy into my career. I'd gone through a marriage breakup. I had a young son. There were multiple life things happening. Yeah. But I blamed the work.
Right.
So I... as I've since found out, I'm quite all or nothing.
Okay.
And therefore I said, right, I'm going to walk away from work, from the career. And let's see if I can get myself better. Being able to look back now, as I said, there was a lot of life experiences going on in my life at the time. Yes, I'd had, you know, promotions and stuff with work. I'd moved to a different location, and I travelled and worked abroad. So that was a big change. And like I said, I was going through a marriage breakup, and I had a young son, and there was all these things going on. And I think now I can look back, and you know, if people are dealing with any one of those things, it's quite stressful.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
When you're juggling multiple life experiences, then it's going to take its toll. So as I said, I walked away from the career and went from earning phenomenal money and opened a restaurant.
Wow. more pressure. Yeah,
but at the time it didn't feel like more pressure.
No.
It was something that I'd always wanted to do. I did it with my best friend at the time, and it was great. But I didn't look after myself.
Right.
And again, looking back, and that's why I really enjoy being able to talk to people like yourself, is if you go through an experience of anxiety, depression or stress, you've got to look after yourself. Mm. And I ignored it. Okay. So I carried on. Okay. You know, I put a mask on. Mm. And that's what I did. Mm. For the best part of 10 years, I wore a mask.
Well, it's a diversion as well, I think, isn't it? To sort of take you out of those thoughts. And it works for a while, but if they're there in the background, you really need to do something about them, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Bob. You know, my issues and my struggles were still there.
Yeah.
I was papering over the cracks. Yeah. You know, the mask allowed me to definitely not talk about it. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to hide behind them. It also allowed me to, I suppose, stop other people asking me. You know, it was kind of, I talk about it as a mask, but it was huge.
Yeah.
You know, this mask probably actually was a full body mask.
It was because armor. Protective
exactly.
Area. Yeah, yeah.
Protecting myself and, for some strange reason, protecting others.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to be a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And this carried on for a number of years, kind of having slightly better times, but also still having the rough times and the bad times. And I still couldn't. I tried to fix it myself. Mm. And then again, then I started to blame myself for walking away from this career that I'd worked so hard for. Mm. And therefore, I was beating myself up. Mm. So that was another element of the mental illness was, not only was I struggling with something, I then started beating myself up that I'd walked away from this career and started feeling a failure. Mm-hmm. And that continued for a while. And then I went back into a different industry, started doing very well, but I still wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. And it was all from the original breakdown. I hadn't fixed myself. I hadn't owned my mental illness, which again, 10 years on and going to where I went, I now know that you have to own your mental well-being, and you own what's wrong with you. And when you own it and you admit it, you can start managing it.
Okay.
So I did very well in this kind of second career, but I still felt there was something missing. I still blamed myself for walking away from the financial world. And I started blaming myself for being a bad father, a bad son, a bad husband, and all these things. And you get taken down these rabbit holes, dark rabbit holes, because you go, yeah, I am a bad father. I don't see my son as much as I should do. Or when I do see my son, we're not doing as much as we should be doing. No one's telling me that. It's me. I was telling myself that.
Absolutely. It's your own influence on yourself,
absolutely,
isn't it? And it's not necessarily true. It's what this disease does to you, isn't it?
Very true, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to my parents now, maybe not as much as I should do, but they were never... No, they never thought I was a failure, you know. As parents, you look at your children in every nice light.
Yeah.
But to me at that time, I'd let them down.
Yeah.
And that continued. But I then walked away from a second career because, again, I blamed the work. And then that led to a long period of time out of work. Then we went into COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And initially, the COVID was actually a bit of a relief for me because no one was at work.
Mm.
I wasn't necessarily a failure anymore because we were all going through this thing together.
And the pressure was off.
Pressure was off.
Yeah, get it. Yeah.
But with all that free time, I did, as I have in the past, looked in the wrong places for answers, and you don't find them in a bottle of beer, or a bottle of spirit.
No.
You don't find answers there, but it does numb the pain. So I spent a lot of time drinking, eating, because we were having good weather and everyone else was doing it. And I just snowballed. I just snowballed into a very deep despair. And that kind of coincided with kind of the first lifting of lockdown, and therefore everyone was going back to work, and it was this big thing. And I'm looking back and saying, I, you know, I've been out of work for 2 years now. This needs to change. But not in a positive way. For me at the time, the change was not being here anymore. And I know people talk about suicide being a very selfish act. And having been there, I do disagree with that. Because I wasn't thinking of me. I was thinking of everybody else.
Okay.
So therefore, my son would be better off without me. My parents, my family would be better off because they wouldn't have to worry about the failure that I was.
But again, this is the disease, isn't it? It's deceiving you. It's telling you lies, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And something I'll say at this point is, you know, how we talk to ourselves, if we spoke to anybody in the same way that we speak to ourselves, you'd probably get a punch on the nose.
Yeah.
You know?
I get where you're coming from, totally.
And not only that, it's continuously telling yourself that you're a failure. And you know, as I said, everybody would have been, at the time, everybody that I knew would have been better off if I wasn't there. And look, I'm glad. I'm glad I was found. I was found by the local police, and they sectioned me.
Okay.
And I didn't really understand that. Mm-hmm. and I've got to say, initially I was thinking, hold on. That happens to people that are really, really not well.
Right, yeah.
That's not going to... A section, what does that mean? And there was initial kind of bit of relief. Okay, wow, I'm going to get some help. I need help. And then it went the opposite way and went, whoa, hold on. What's going to happen here? I was taken to Chelmsford Hospital. I was assessed. I let everything out to three specialists. And they admitted me to hospital.
Okay.
For my own safety.
Right.
I remember, by this time it's Monday night, and I remember saying, look, I understand I need help. I really want the help, but can I just go home?
Yeah.
And I'll go to the hospital in the morning.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we've sectioned you.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I was admitted to an NHS hospital, which was a very difficult week.
Okay.
I was there for a week. Very, very difficult. For a number of reasons. But I felt that I wasn't going to be able to get better there.
Okay.
I see things that I wish I hadn't seen. But it also showed me that mental illness is such a huge pot.
Yes.
And I use an analogy, you break your leg. Yeah. If you break your leg, you're taken to the hospital. You go to the department that look after broken legs.
Yep.
And they fix you up with a plaster. And you, depending on individuals, will be in plaster for 4 to 6, maybe 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then when that comes off, you'll then have physiotherapy. Mm. 4 to 6 to 8 weeks. All within that department that look after broken legs.
Yeah.
Mental health is such a big cauldron.
Absolutely.
Of different elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can only talk about what happened to me, and that's depression, stress, anxiety, and bipolar.
Yeah.
At the age of 45, I was diagnosed that I'm on the lower end of the spectrum of bipolar. But okay. You've got so many more elements of mental health, but they don't have an individual department. It's a mental health hospital.
That's right, yes.
You know, and at the far end of that scale, you've got schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And everybody's in the same place.
Yeah. And everybody's experience is different.
Correct.
They've got a different mix of
Absolutely.
Different problems and
yeah,
symptoms.
Yeah. And this isn't me saying that the NHS doesn't work. I have had some phenomenal support from the NHS.
Good.
I've had support from the NHS that has allowed me to move forward with my journey.
Right.
But at that point, it wasn't working for me, and fortunately, through an insurance policy, I was able to go to a private hospital.
Okay.
Where I spent 5 weeks.
Right.
So in total, I spent 6 weeks in hospital, which still, with all the positive and the progress I've made, you know, to say that I spent 6 weeks in hospital for my mental health still upsets me.
Okay.
Why
do you think that is?
It's for two reasons, really. For all those people that I felt would be better off without me.
Oh, right. Mm.
For the way that it had, I suppose, the way that, because I was in hospital, everybody then had to find out.
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with me?
Yeah.
And I get a little upset talking about it because I go back to that point in time, because I was very unhappy and very sad.
Well, please only talk about what you're comfortable
with.
Oh,
no, listen, yes, it's all part of the journey, and it's all part of the recovery, Bob.
Yeah.
And I guess also kind of thinking, wow, it took that long for me to get to a, you know, better, but only better to a degree so that I could be discharged.
Right, okay.
And that's where the story, the great story of Andy's Man Club comes into play.
Okay.
And hopefully the listeners can hear my smile.
Yeah, your face has completely changed.
As I talk about, and I go goosey quite a lot when I talk about my story in Andy's Man Club, and I'm goosey at this moment in time.
Right.
So I got discharged from hospital, and it was a hard 5 weeks, lots of highs and lots of lows, and very difficult. But I got discharged, and I had support. I had professional support through therapy and the NHS and a support worker and an employment worker. It was the employment support that was absolutely fantastic. Jameer, who I still talk to today.
Right.
Was just a great support. And even though I had all that support, I felt something was missing.
Okay.
And during my time in hospital, I took part in group therapy.
Yeah.
That took some time to get used to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're sitting with people who either are very comfortable talking about what they've gone through, and you hear sad stories.
Yes.
And you listen and you go, wow, I shouldn't be here. You listen to other people. But then they'd listen to you and they'd say, wow, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But initially it was quite difficult to be able to open up to a group of 8 to 10 people to say, look, you know, I am struggling. You know, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 2 at the minute. You know, I don't want to be here and stuff like that. But it did work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I missed. So I started looking locally. I looked for support groups. So I'm based not far from Chelmsford. So I looked in Chelmsford and there wasn't anything there. I then looked Southend. Couldn't find anything there. Then I kind of worked my way back. Billericay. I went all the way, searching online. This is not out on foot.
No,
the power of the digital age.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
My parents still live in Romford, so I went all the way back to Romford to try and find, you know, support groups for people that have gone through what I'd gone through.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't find anything. I found lots of support for for older men, men's sheds.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And there is a great network of support for older men that have lost their loved ones, you know, lost their long-term partners and suffering with grief.
Yes.
And although I have got a full head of grey hair, I'm not ready for woodwork and metalwork the minute.
No.
And I'm not sure I will be, but I couldn't find, I just wanted this kind of talking group. My social media outlet has always been Twitter.
Okay.
And I don't know how it appeared. Maybe it's because I was using Twitter, and I've got to say that I had some amazing support from people that I'd met via Twitter while I was in hospital.
Great. Okay.
I think some of that was probably because I was a bit more open with those people because they weren't necessarily real.
Okay.
Compared to friends who are real.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But this post appeared January 2021 that said Andy's Man Club.
Okay.
Men's peer-to-peer talking groups.
Oh,
okay. Funny, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we were back in a lockdown, so we couldn't visit face-to-face groups. And when I looked on the website, the nearest group was Peterborough.
Oh, cool.
So the nearest face-to-face group was Peterborough.
Yeah.
And because it was mental health and because it was kind of support, they were actually able to run.
Right.
But 4-hour round trip wasn't going to work.
No.
But they'd gone online.
Okay.
So not only have I seen this tweet that's telling me about this group, they're now actually online because of lockdown. So there's these two kind of wow moments. And I went online that Monday. I went online, 7 till 9. There was 18 men from all over the country.
Yeah.
Plus the facilitator. So there was kind of 19 squares on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And it was the third wow moment, you know. There was guys talking about their struggles during lockdown. There was guys talking about their longer term struggles. And it was based around very basic questions. And I got off the call after 2 hours and I just went, this is amazing.
It's what you needed. It's exactly what you needed.
Just
isn't it? Yeah.
Sharing how my week had been.
Yeah.
And sharing that I had been struggling. And although I've had all this help, I still feel there's more to do.
Yeah.
So I went back the following Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait. And I was like, wow, is this kind of, I'm looking forward to this so much.
Yeah.
And it became a common theme. You get talking to these guys. As I said, they're from all walks of life. And you're meeting for 2 hours on a Monday night and you're chatting and there's a common theme, and you're also realising that you're not the only one that's having these thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a huge thing, because at my darkest times, I did feel that I was the only person that was struggling with these thoughts.
Mm.
And I now know that lots of people struggle with these thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I carried on going, and within, I think it was 4 weeks, I then spoke to the guys and said, look, I want to get involved with this. I'd love to be kind of a facilitator on these nights, because every time I take part in it, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I kind of talk about my journey and someone wants to kind of ask a question, it feels like a little bit of me gets better.
Ah, yeah.
And that's how it's gone. So I started facilitating these online groups, and then I kind of got in a better space.
Uh-huh.
And I need to open a group. I need to have a group. There needs to be a face-to-face group somewhere in Essex. I don't know where,
but we
need to have a group in Essex. And if we can get one open, I think it will kind of catch on.
Yeah.
Andy's Man Club originated in Halifax. 6 years ago,
right
after a young lad called Andy took his own life at the age of 23.
Oh, dear.
And his brother-in-law set up Andy's Man Club.
Right.
And on the first day, they had 9 guys. It was going to be a coffee morning, a and nine guys attended.
That's amazing, isn't
it? And it's gone from there. Yeah. It's over 6 years. It's just grown and grown and grown. Before lockdown, there was 28 physical groups, predominantly in the north of England. A year ago, there was 50 clubs.
Right.
On Monday night, there was 102 clubs.
Wow, yeah.
Across the UK.
Yeah.
So it shows that it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's needed.
Yeah, and it's needed.
Yeah.
So I reached out to some people that I kind of had in my phone from some kind of business networking in Southend, in Chelmsford and Billericay, and people kind of come back and went, yeah, this sounds good. Yeah. And Southend United said, look, we'll happily offer you a room and a space.
Oh, brilliant.
To run these events on a Monday night. And May last year, 10th of May, so we've just celebrated our first year,
right. We
opened Andy's Man Club Southend.
Right.
We had 10 guys turn up on the first night. Some friends of mine helped me open it. So there was a few of us there. I think it was five guys kind of turned up. So it was five of us already there.
Okay.
And I still get the same buzz on a Monday night.
Brilliant.
It's a natural high.
Yeah.
And we sit and we talk around the five questions that every group has every Monday.
Let's go through them. I'm interested in these.
It's
how the meeting works, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so simple.
Right.
It's so simple. So the first question that we ask the men in the room is how's your week?
Okay.
That's it. How's your week?
Right. And do you wait for someone to pipe up?
No. So there's a structure with it. So as a facilitator, I answer the question first.
Right.
So there's two reasons for that. One, I'm still using the group. So even though I'm a facilitator, I'm still able to use the group.
Yeah.
And being a facilitator doesn't make me immune to having a bad day or a bad week or a dark moment and feeling the funk, which is what I call it now.
Yeah.
So I'm still able to use that group. And secondly, no one is going cold. So the facilitator will always answer first. The co-facilitator will go second.
Okay.
So the third person is someone that's using the group.
Mm.
So you don't get this kind of long silence where no one really wants to go first.
No, great.
And what we're doing is, on a Monday night, we look back 7 days. Tell us how your week's been. Is it good, bad, indifferent?
Yeah.
Is it been happy, sad? Just tell us about your week. And people will touch, you know, on what's happened during the week with work or with over the weekend with their family or not their family if they're going through breakups.
Right.
And we'll go around the circle and everybody answers. And then the second question is, give me a positive from your week.
Okay, yeah.
Now, again, I'll go first as a facilitator or the lead facilitator, then the co-facilitator. But the idea of that question is, no matter how bad a week you've had, there's a positive there.
Yeah.
Now, the positive could be that you're here in the room with us on a Monday night.
Absolutely.
Well, there's no better positive because they're here.
And that question's an interruption to this voice that is constantly bashing you, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Makes you pull your straps up and think, well, hang on, no. Go anyway.
Yeah, there is a positive there. No, you're absolutely right, Bob.
Yeah.
And if you're in the funk and you're having a bad week, just getting out of bed one day is a positive.
Mm.
Brushing your teeth is a positive.
Mm.
And we talk about those small wins. You know, if people are having that bad day, you don't want to get out of bed. You want to sit under that duvet, or you don't want to open the front door because of what your mind is telling you.
Yeah.
So those small wins are huge. And that's how you start. You know, if you want to run a marathon, you don't just go out and do 26 miles.
No, quite.
You start with a mile.
Yeah.
It's the same with your mental health. So question three is a little bit more uplifting. Question two is a little bit more uplifting. Now, question three is your middle question, and that's the kind of big question. It's also officially the only question you can pass on, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
But question three is, what do you want to get off your chest? Is there anything you want to get off your chest this week? And again, it's designed to be that week.
Yeah.
So what's kind of got on your nerves this week? Right. What do you want to share? What do you want to put in the middle? Yeah. And it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be your partner. Yeah. It could be the kids. Yeah. It could be work. Yeah. It could be a manager. It could be anything. It could be that you're struggling and you say, I just wish I wasn't struggling. The whole evening's non-judgmental, but question three is just for you to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys, some men have actually used it to share some of their deepest, darkest secrets.
Right.
Things that may have happened to them in the past, mm-hmm. maybe as far back as a child, mm-hmm. that's potentially shaped them mm-hmm. as an adult. Mm-hmm. And they've never told people. So they're sharing in that moment. And I've actually seen men actually grow in the chair okay. as they've lifted, as they've got whatever it is off their chest.
And that's a real credit to you and the organisation that you've created this safe space where people can come and reveal those deepest, darkest things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it happens all over the country.
Right.
And I honestly believe that it's the empathy in the room, and this is the second time I'm going goosey.
Okay.
Lots of people can give people, you can give sympathy, but empathy is a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got 15, 20 guys sitting in a room that are sharing, that understand each other through what they're going through, we talk about storms. You know, whatever the storm is, they're going through the storm, but there's other people that have been through the same storm.
Yeah, yeah.
It creates this empathy.
Yeah.
And that allows people on question three to share what's really going on. Yeah. And sometimes just verbalising that you're struggling makes you feel a bit better.
Absolutely.
Or hearing someone across the circle say, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Or I've been there.
Yeah. And all of that is pretty much alien to male culture, isn't it, really? So, you know, you're doing a great thing by enabling men to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting guys to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which you do for a living. You talk.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I talk
for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's on a phone call or a Zoom call nowadays or face to face. But when it comes to a man talking about how they're feeling, we clam up.
Yep. It's a very difficult thing for a lot of men to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So once we've had question three, and again, we have tears, we have some laughter. And the tears, you know, the tears are okay. And when anybody ever cries, and I've cried, most guys have cried in an Andy's Man Club meeting. The first word they say is sorry.
Yeah.
But no one should ever be sorry for having a cry.
No.
Because for me, it's the body's way of telling you that you're struggling.
Yeah.
And actually having a cry does make you feel better.
Yeah.
The world we live in, it is getting a bit better, but the world we live in says it's okay for a lady or a woman to cry, but it's not okay for a man to cry. And I've come from a very tactile upbringing, a very tactile family. You know, all my uncles and my cousins, we all embrace, all the males all embrace each other. And we all kiss, because that's how our granddad was.
Yeah, right.
But I still had this fear of opening up with my problems. And that's what we do at Andy's Man Club, is we enable people to talk about it, to cry about it, to laugh about it. And we don't claim to resolve people's problems, but hopefully when they leave at 9 o'clock, they feel a bit better than when they walked
totally,
in.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
And that's where question four and five come in, and they change every week.
Okay.
So one, two and three stay the same every week. Four and five get set by a head office and they change. And as facilitators, we do have some input, so we can kind of submit our own questions and they'll look at them.
Right.
And they're a little bit more jovial or a little bit more thought-provoking. So question four can be things like, if you could be any animal in the world, what would it be and why?
Okay, yeah.
And what we're doing there with that question is we're taking away from what you may have shared in question three, and we're completely changing tact.
Great, yeah.
So that you're not focusing on the negatives. Question four can also be, how are you going to impact someone positively next week?
Right.
So it gets you thinking about how you can impact someone else.
Yeah.
They might be a little bit more fun. They might say, you know, what's your favourite movie?
Okay.
You know, what's your kind of guilty pleasure when it comes to music stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Another great question four has been, if you could go back to any historical event, what one would you go back to? And that's great because you get guys thinking of sporting events, music events, you know, major events, you know, the Wall Street crash in 1900. You know, you'd love to go back and see what it was all about.
Okay.
Stuff like that. It just gets you thinking on a completely different line.
Yeah.
And then question five is the quick fire round, and it's a great way of finishing the evening. And Monday night's question five was, as a child, what program did you beg to watch before you went to bed?
Yeah.
And because you've got different age groups of men, you know, it's Andy's Man Club's open to any man over the age of 18.
Right.
The oldest member we've had at Southend is 83.
Okay, well.
And so you get a complete mix of answers, and you've got the younger guys going, what do you mean the professionals?
Yeah.
You know, never heard of it.
Yeah.
But the best question five is if it's related to food.
Okay.
And when I was online, when I first found Andy's Man Club, the first question five was, what's your favourite biscuit? And on that particular night, there was more debate about everybody's favourite biscuit than there had been on the previous four questions.
Yeah, but what a great way of bringing the group together and
You're talking about biscuits.
Yeah.
And everybody has their favourite. And there's different reasons for it being a favourite.
Yeah.
And you're quite protective of that biscuit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a great way of finishing. You know, you may have kind of opened up and shared stuff with guys that you very rarely, you know, you might have met them for the first time, or you might have only been 2 weeks,
Absolutely,
3 weeks, and all
yeah,
of a sudden you've got this opportunity to share, and you do share, and you feel a little bit better, but you also feel a little bit silly. But once you've answered question five, you know, it allows you to kind of leave on a bit more of a high.
With a smile, yeah.
With a smile,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I talk about Southend quite a bit because it was the first group we opened. And as I said, it's just celebrated its 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And we know that over 700 men have walked through the door at Southend.
That's superb, yeah. And you've gone on to open other branches in Essex as well, haven't
you?
Yeah,
absolutely. So by doing things like this, talking on radio or doing news articles...
Yeah.
Other people have reached out and said, well, look, if you're looking for a venue, then talk to us. So Rittle University in Chelmsford, I was doing something on LinkedIn. It was like a live chat show.
Mm-hmm.
One of the lecturers at the university see me on this chat show, and he got in contact and said, I'd love to offer you a venue at Rittle University.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So we opened Rittle University, or Andy's Man Club Chelmsford, in December last year, and we've had nearly 200 men walk through the door in 6 months.
Yeah.
And what allowed me to open Chelmsford was that the guys that have been using Southend stepped up to be facilitators.
Right, yeah.
So what happens with Andy's Man Club is you come along because you're struggling.
Yeah.
You start to get better in yourself, or you start to change things, and that allows you to get better. And then you want to give back.
Yeah.
So you then, you know, guys will say, right, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
It could be, you know, we have to set the rooms up, or we set up, we have a brew station at every meeting. So tea, coffee, biscuits, there's always biscuits. And these guys go, yeah, I want to be part of the facilitator team. So they'll do some online training with Andy's Man Club, and they'll get their hoodies and their T-shirts that says Andy's Man Club, and they start facilitating the group. Yeah. So that's allowed me to then go and open Chelmsford.
Fantastic.
And I've got some friends and some people that have kind of come from the general public that said, well, this is what I'd love to get involved.
Right. Yeah.
So that then allows me to open Basildon. So on Monday night, we open Basildon at Lintswood Primary School. So a friend of mine had been on the governors many years ago. So he was able to contact them, and they've lent us the room. So we've now got three groups. Live groups in Essex.
Fantastic, yeah.
Monday we had eight guys turn up at Basildon.
Right.
And as a first night, we had a bit of everything. We had laughter, we had tears,
right.
We had hugs, we had tea, coffee, biscuits, and it was a great night. And I still get a huge buzz from it.
Sounds terrific. I mean, I can only talk from my personal experience, and there have been times in my life when I would have benefited greatly from Andy's Man Club. And of course, with access to NHS mental health services, taking a long time to get a referral and all that sort of thing, this is something that's there every week, isn't it? And yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, you and I have spoke already about our struggles.
Yeah.
You know, outside of what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
And that's great. But again, with Andy's Man Club, there's no referrals. There's no forms.
No, right.
There's no waiting list. Just turn up at 7 o'clock at the venues. Southend's at Southend United, Chelmsford's at Rittle University, and Basildon is now at Lintswood Primary School.
Right.
But you can find all the details on andysmanclub.co.uk.
Okay.
And it's free.
Yeah.
It's free.
So how is it funded then?
So it's funded by the central charity.
Okay.
So Andy's Man Club UK is a recognised charity.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a charity that's won the Queen's Award.
Right.
It's a charity that Prince William's aware of and Prince Charles is aware of. So it's kind of got a royal stamp,
yeah,
as it were.
Absolutely.
They've done work with people like Professor Green.
Okay.
And a whole host of sports stars are aware of Andy's Man Club.
Fantastic.
So, it's funded that way. And as individual groups, we like to do kind of sponsorship events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a charity.
Fantastic.
That's going from strength to strength, Bob.
That's absolutely fantastic, Darren. Now, I mean, going back to your own journey.
Yeah.
I know there's not one single answer to recovery. It's a combination of things, but how much do you think that helping others has aided your own recovery?
Oh, for me, helping others has been huge.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, each time I do something for the newspaper or a radio interview like this, I know a little part of me gets better.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Because I am able to give back. And it's all voluntary. Last night I was at a support group, six guys that have been on a kind of program with Chelmsford, and just talking to them and listening to them and talking about their struggles and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely helps me. But I also talk about, I've now got a mental health toolbox that I now use to manage my mental health.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and we've all got toolboxes.
Right.
Some have got more tools in than others. And
okay, yeah.
Some are very basic.
Yeah.
But the mental health toolbox that I've got now covers a multitude of things. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that I take medication.
No, right. So do I.
I take daily medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Totally.
Yes, it works for some people. It might not work for others. Mm. And also, you know, you should always get professional guidance,
yep,
for medication. But that's one of my tools.
Mm.
I exercise a lot more than I ever used to.
Okay.
Because of the endorphins that you get,
yeah,
when you exercise. And look, I ballooned to 18 and a half stone at my kind of darkest point. So, you know, I had to start somewhere and I just went out for a walk.
Good for you. Yeah, yeah.
I used mindfulness, something that I was... something that's very, very alien to me. You know, when I was in hospital, people kept talking about mindfulness and meditation and, wow, this is all a bit weird. But you can now download an app and you can do 5 minutes of mindfulness and you'll be surprised at how it can relax you or reset you.
Absolutely.
Help you sleep.
Yeah.
Or actually bring your mood up. So mindfulness is something that I use and that's one of my tools, you know. And again, I'm sure people listening will resonate with, if you are struggling, you withdraw. You don't want to talk to anybody. But one of my tools now is being social.
Okay.
Doing things with people. It might only be going for a coffee with someone.
Yeah.
But that will help. That helps me, you know, having a chat.
That can be a big step for some people.
Huge.
Yeah,
yeah. Huge.
And I expect you probably have to push yourself now to do that, do you?
There are times.
Yeah,
there are times. Yeah. You know, as I say, I'm managing my mental health.
Yeah.
I don't believe I'll ever be clear of it.
No.
I think it's something that's with me.
Yeah.
And has potentially been me with me for many years. But now I'm managing it.
Yeah.
And I know the triggers and I know the signs, and therefore that's when I then dip into my toolbox. You know? Look, I enjoy having a pint with some mates, but I now have days where I don't have a pint because I know that's beneficial. You know, I love food. And so there are days when I try and eat more healthily. But come the weekend, I'll have a curry or a Chinese
good
or a burger, the same as everybody else,
you
know.
Good for you, mate.
But it's all these little things that I now feel help.
Yeah.
And Andy's Man Club is one of those.
Great stuff. Darren, that has been phenomenal. It's probably one of the, it's a very difficult subject, but probably one of the easiest interviews I've had to do.
Thank you.
You've been very brave as well and very eloquent, and it's been fascinating to listen to.
It's been great, and we talk about that one man when we're talking with Andy's Man Club. We kind of have two things that we kind of, two mantras is, one of them is okay to talk.
Yeah.
And the other one is, it's that one man. Now, if one man has listened to this today and is able to come along to an Andy's Man Club meeting, or is able to go to the doctors for the first time, or is able to go and talk to someone, then we're winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if someone's heard today and go and know someone that's struggling and they're able to pick up the phone and say, how are you doing?
Yeah.
No. How are you doing?
Yeah, that's it.
Just how you did when I walked in this morning.
Right.
So, one man is what we're after. So thank you for the opportunity, Bob. It's been great.
You are very welcome. Thank you for coming in. And just remind us again of the Basildon meet, where it is and when.
Yeah, so Basildon meet at Lintswood Primary School every Monday except bank holidays, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. We're generally there from 6:30.
Okay.
So if you're a little nervous, there's guys there. Come along. You'll get a warm welcome. That I can guarantee. And as I said, there'll always be biscuits there.
Fantastic. Now, should say, of course, if you are struggling with suicidal thoughts or finding things difficult, there are a number of agencies and helplines available. The Samaritans, of course, their helpline is you just dial 116 123. That's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and that's free of charge. CALM, the campaign against living miserably, that's help and support for young men aged 15 to 35 on issues which include depression and suicide. That's on 0800 585858. Then there's Hopeline UK, 0800 068 4141. And that's for practical advice on suicide prevention. We'll get all those details and a recording of this chat with Darren up on the Phoenix FM website later today. Darren Smith, fantastic. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
And good luck in the rest of your journey.
Thank you, Bob.
You're
thank you.
More than welcome. Cheers, mate.